Good evening, I'm an alcoholic, my name's Steve. First, I want to thank Kevin for asking me, and I want to thank this home group for having me and for all you people putting up with me. Because, you know, Kevin said it is some preparation, and it is a bit of a commitment to do this, but it's really rewarding too. I shared with him last week that I didn't realize how rewarding this was going to be for me, and it's really helped me a whole lot these prior 5 weeks and even tonight. You know, I sponsor 9 different guys, but no, I haven't worked through these steps with any wet drunk in quite a few years. You know, all the guys that I sponsor have enough time under their belt. They've been through them. We revisit them on a regular basis, like I shared a few weeks ago, that my sponsor tells me all the time. But you know, so it's helped me tremendously to just go back on these steps and read up on them and research and put my own 2 cents into it, so to speak, and it's really helped me a lot. So I've been very... I have to tell you, I'm very grateful that I was asked to do this. In the beginning, I wasn't too grateful. I wasn't sure I wanted to do it. But I am, you know. And you know, it's kind of funny. We pulled up out front, and we pulled up outside, and I looked, and there's quite a few cars. And I said, wow, there's quite a few people tonight. And Andy says, yeah, you really bring in a crowd. And I said, no, probably what it is, they think I finished up last week, and they think Leslie's starting tonight. But as you see, we came in and Andy left with Christmas, so that should tell you something right there, what that's all about. You know, the other thing is, you know, when Jerome reads that prayer and we have that moment of silence, I always, for myself, I end that with, let the message be yours and the word be mine. And I always like to go into the restroom or somewhere off to the side before I lead or before I ever do anything like this, and have a little prayer. And I always say that, and especially doing this, I like to really remember that, because, like I shared, I think the very first week, I'm not a conference speaker. I'm not a gifted speaker. I'm not a lector. I'm a simple drunk trying to stay sober today, just like the rest of you. I don't have anything special and profound to offer, only what's been given to me that I graciously and lovingly will give back, because it was lovingly given to me. But, you know, and I need to remember that. So I need to make sure that I knock the ego and the pride out of this right from the get-go, because God willing, this is His message, and the words are just coming out of my mouth. You know, so I want to say that. You know, the other thing I want to say once again is, and I've said it the first 5 weeks, and I'll say it again tonight, is I'm an alcoholic, and my name's Steve, and that's the most important thing that I'll say from this podium tonight. I truly believe that everything I do, anything I've asked to do for this fellowship, is given out of love, and I will never say no unless I absolutely cannot do something that's asked of me. That's what I was taught to do, and it's worked for me for the past, you know, 30 years. So, God willing, I don't know if I'll make another 30, but it'll be nice if I do. But a couple other things real quick is, excuse me, I have a sponsor. His name is Andy Daniels. He's a good old-timer. Been around these rooms for 44, 45 years, and he's a hell of an inspiration to me today. He's my third sponsor since I've been sober, and each one of my sponsors has given me something very, very rewarding in my journey of recovery at that point in time. And what my sponsor gives me today is just a simple understanding of, no matter how long I'm sober, I still need to come to these rooms and listen to you people and practice these principles and continue to learn how to live sober one day at a time. Because I don't come to AA to learn how not to drink. I come to AA to learn how to live sober, even still today. So, you know, that's what my sponsor gives me. I have a couple home groups. One of my home groups will be meeting here in just about an hour, 8 o'clock out northeast. Grape City Group, it's an open speaker meeting. I have another home group that meets on Monday nights at 8 o'clock in northeast. And it is a 12 and, big book in 12 and 12 reading and discussion group. And that is probably my most favorite meeting that I go to, that I attend. I really love the big book. I love the 12 and 12. I love the steps, the traditions, and I like the history of AA, and I just can't seem to get enough of it. So, and my sobriety date is July 15th of 1989. So this past July 15th, I did celebrate 30 years of continuous sobriety. So, you know, all that said is, you know, plain and simple, I don't take a whole lot of credit for that. I give credit where credit's due, and that's to my higher power, because there's been a lot of times all I've done is just shown up, you know. But through the grace of God, God's loving grace, I'm sober today. You know, I truly believe that. You know, I bunched these steps up. No, I didn't bunch them up. I should say I did a few at a time. I did 1, 2, and 3, then 4 and 5, 6 and 7, 8 and 9. I did 10 and 11 last week, which, like I shared with you, I wasn't sure that they went together, but after I got into them, they really did. 10 and 11 go right together, for me anyways. Tonight I'm doing step 12 by itself, and it was kind of amazing because I thought, well, I don't know. I haven't done any one individual step by itself. And I tried to really jam this down as much as I could, because really, there's really a whole lot to step 12, a lot more than I really was thinking about. You know, step 1 gave me recovery, and step 12, I believe, allows me to keep it. And the reason I just said what I said is because step 12, it's the only step that gets an entire chapter in the big book. Working with others is solely devoted towards step 12. There's no other step that gets one whole complete chapter to itself. And it also gets, it also gets the longest chapter in the 12 and 12. You know, and it says in there that alcoholics and even early AAs, mostly early AAs, have tried many things to stay sober, from therapy to religion, to just white knuckling it. You know, I've tried many, many things. But nothing works like extensive work with another alcoholic. It says it in the big book. I truly believe it. I've experienced it. And if I don't tell you anything else that I believe is true, I believe that is. You know, nothing works like extensive work with another alcoholic. You know, when I'm in my own crap and in my head and thinking that I've got it so damn tough, I just need to look around me and find somebody and reach out, because there's always somebody there, you know, that I can talk with and work with and be there for. And you know, be a sounding board, whatever it is. And, you know, so I believe that to be so true. Step 12 summarizes this entire new way of life that I've learned through working the prior 11 steps. You know, that, like I said, this is a design for living. These 12 steps, especially the first 11, I realized that they've taught me a new way to live. You know, that's what this is all about. And also one of the most important things, because with it, I carry with where I carry the message is my experience, strength, and hope to the suffering alcoholic, and that's what this is all about. And that's, for me, probably the most important and the best way for me on a daily basis to strengthen my decision not to pick up a drink is through working or speaking, sharing with others. And actually, working with other people, at least what I believe, anyways, is the greatest joy that this program has to offer me. You know, when I get to work with another person, and whether I end up sponsoring them or not, just being part of their recovery and watching somebody else get it is just really second to none. Step 12, in the reading of step 12, it tells me that I already had a spiritual awakening. And I had the spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. And it doesn't say a result, it says the result. It says I've already had a spiritual awakening, and it's of the result. The main reason or the primary outcome of working the steps. For me, when I think about a spiritual awakening, some people refer to it as an experience. And for me, there is a difference between the spiritual, the awakening, so to speak, and a spiritual experience. I've had, in my sobriety, in my time sober, I've had many, what I call spiritual experiences. I call them God things. And there are things that I know of, that I know are of God. I mean, I truly believe that they didn't happen for any other reason, big and small. For me, the spiritual awakening, it wasn't sudden, it was a gradual thing. And it was a profound way that changed the way that I view life. I guess to give you some kind of a definition, it was when I finally realized that not only did I not have to drink, and that's what you people told me, but that I didn't want to. And that's what you people showed me through your example. You know, and that was a big thing for me when I finally realized that there was life after drink, so to speak, you know. Because I drank, and I drank because I liked drunk. I drank, I liked it, I wanted it. I looked for more. And then I finally realized at one point in time, whenever it was, that there was life after drink. That I could have a life, that I could enjoy myself, that I could have fun. And I didn't think that was possible. When I first came around the rooms of AA and I first started to get sober, I didn't think that was possible. That was my biggest fear. How am I ever going to have fun again? So, you know, my awakening, so to speak, was when, like I said, when I finally realized that not only did I not have to drink, but I really didn't want to. You know, and I don't know when that happened, but it did. And it doesn't really matter so much as how it happens, just so that it does. And I believe that each and every one of us, that will happen for us. I do believe that. And the awakening for me, it began with steps 1, 2, and 3. And that I look as I can't, God can, so I think I'll let him. Then I took a good look at myself inside. And in a good thorough house cleaning, and that's with steps 4 through 9. I cleaned up myself and my relationships with others. I realized a lot of the problem areas, resentments I had toward others, you know, guilt and shame, remorse over how I treated some people. And I realized that I couldn't get rid of that stuff on my own, that I needed some help. And that's where steps 4 through 9 really took care of all that. But I also realized that I had some character assets. And that's really important. I remember my sponsor, I think I shared this when I was talking about steps 4 and 5. My sponsor told me to make actually 3 different lists. But and one list was to write down some good things about myself. That, you know, we all have character assets. So I did realize that as well. You know, and in steps 9, I made some repairs and amends, and that's where a lot of action came in. And I shared that in 8 and 9, that it wasn't just about words. It was about putting things in action and showing through my actions that I meant what I said, you know, and trying to make a wrong right, so to speak. Step 10, I continue to check and balance daily and continue to connect and improve my relationship with my God or my higher power in step 11. And then now step 12 is about what I do with all this now, you know, what I do with this new spiritual awakening, because by now I've had the spiritual awakening, and that's what the step tells me, and I did. So that's what step 12 is about, because faith without works is dead. It says it in the book, and I believe it. By working with others, I take the focus off of me and I place it on somebody else, and that's vitally important because that's what this is all about. You know, when I came here, I was so self-centered and self-absorbed, I didn't know any other way. And now I've worked through these 11 steps, and I'm into step 12, and this is all about taking the focus off of me and putting it on somebody else, you know. Which, like I said, really is what this whole journey is about for me anyways. My sponsor says that AA can't be taught or learned. You can't teach AA and you can't learn it. It must be given, and it also must be received. You know, we can give it to somebody, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to receive it, that they're going to be receptive of it. So, you know, Andy told me that years ago, and I truly believe that. You can't teach AA. I wish I could, but you can't. You know, you can't teach it. You can't learn it. It must be given and it must be received. Carrying the message for me is letting someone know that I understand how they feel, I understand what they're going through, and to let them know that they don't have to live that way anymore, you know, that there is a way out or a way up. You know, we all have one common denominator here, and that's suffering. And we all experience that, you know, and we come into AA and we speak the language of the heart here. And I truly believe that's what this is all about, carrying this message. It's about speaking the language of the heart. From my experiences come my strength, and that gives hope to the newcomer. That's the other thing that my sponsor has always told me, that you know, the experience, strength, and hope is that, you know, that's the hope for the newcomer. Working with others reminds me of where I came from, and that from the newcomer that I meet, the message that they give me is that it's not any better out there. I can and do learn just as much from them as they do from me, you know. I get just as much or more out of sponsoring people, sponsoring guys, than they get from me, you know. You know, I learned also from other people and working with others what to do as well as what not to do. But I know I can't give away what I don't have. So I have to work the prior 11 steps to get to step 12. Because, like I said, I can't give away what I don't have. And our primary purpose is to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. By working these steps, I get to carry that message. And my sponsor says, you know, my sponsor also reminds me that that everyone that shows up at a meeting is 12-stepping me, you know. That everybody that's here tonight is helping me stay sober tonight. And that's important, you know. There's a lot of other 12-step work, you know, making coffee, setting up the meeting, chairing a meeting, secretary, treasurer, you know, there are all other ways. Standing at the door and greeting people. I used to have to do that in Florida. They were real big. I got sober in Florida, and they're real big on that. Most meetings down there have a greeter, and I just despised that early on in sobriety. My first sponsor would always do that when the sign-up sheet came around. If I didn't do it, he wrote my name on it, and he always put me down for greeter. But, you know, how important that was to stand at that door and shake everybody's hand when they came through. You know, and introduce myself and get to know. That's how I got to know people. That's how they got to know me. That and going around and shaking hands. I tell all the guys that I sponsor early on, walk around the whole room and shake everybody's hand. Introduce yourself. You know, make yourself be seen. Make yourself be known. You know, this also makes me, when I do other service work like that, it commits me to a meeting. It commits me to, that's why home group membership, I believe, is so important. You know, it makes me part of. It makes me feel part of, and not just around, but in AA. You know, working with others, like I said, is the ultimate reward for me. It really is. I don't ever tell them what to do. But I just share what's worked for me. I share what's been given to me, and I pass it on to others. I share my experience, strength and hope, so to speak. And I don't, you know, I'm not one that tells anybody what to do. I might give you some real strong suggestions, but, you know, you do with it what you may. Probably the tougher part is step 12 for me is to practice these principles in all my affairs. You know, it's real easy for me to do this deal for an hour right here with you. But now I need to take this stuff outside of the room, and I need to take it home, and I need to share it with my family, and I need to share it with my coworkers, and my neighbors, and people in Giant Eagle, and all that good stuff. You know, so I'm here for 1 hour to help me get through the next 23. And I need to also remember that I'm never going to graduate from this thing. It's about the journey. It's not about the destination. So, you know, and for me, like I said, this step here, that's what it's all about. It's all about, you know, not graduating, not getting to the end, but just experiencing and enjoying the journey. If I only practiced these principles, you know, of a changed lifestyle, if I only did it in AA but not the rest of my life, I believe it would only be a matter of time that you know, I would just convince myself to go right back to the old thinking. I really do. I mean, if I was to try to be rigorously honest with all you people, but then go and lie to my wife or lie to the people I work with or not be honest with my neighbors or whatever, it would only be a matter of time. I really believe I would just start lying to myself, and I would convince myself, and I would be right back at that old, you know, stinking thinking. I do believe that. So I think the practice and the principles in all my affairs is, you know, maybe I do it more than I even realize it. But it's not always the easiest thing to do. It's about changing the way that I live. You know, that's what this step is all about, changing the way that I live. I just want to read right here real quick a definition in this one book of what exactly are these principles. One definition of principle is a rule of conduct. Another is a general or fundamental rule or truth on which others are based. The principles referred to in this step reflect both of these meanings, since the steps contain not only guides to our behavior, but also fundamental truths about ourselves and our roles in the universe. You know, and then I started to look at each step, and I was thinking about, you know, the rule of conduct, so to speak. For me, when I think of that, I think what it says to me is it's the action part. And like in step one, the action is admitting. Step two was coming to believe. Three is relying on that power. Step four was the self-examination or an inventory. Five is practicing honesty. Step six is becoming and practicing willingness. Seven is humility. Eight is willingness again. Nine is a lot of action. It's making the actual amends. Step 10 is the same as step four. It's a self-examination, except on a more of a regular, daily basis. And step 11 is striving for, seeking out more spiritual growth. And then step 12, so importantly, is carrying a message to other alcoholics. You know, carrying a message, you know, it takes my time that I might spend, you know, I might have been able to spend somewhere else, on something else. But the rewards of watching someone finally get it and being honored with being part of that, like I said, is second to none. You know, I truly believe somebody asked me to sponsor them, it's an honor and a privilege. It really is. I've had that honor, excuse me, to work with quite a few different guys, and You know, sometimes there are letdowns and people don't make it. People don't get it. And I need to remember that's my fault. That's not my fault. Excuse me. I remember early on, the first two or three guys that I sponsored didn't stay sober. And I remember asking my sponsor at the time, it was Denny Wallen, and I remember asking Denny, you know, what am I doing wrong? You know, how come these guys aren't getting it? And he said, you're not doing anything wrong. He said, you're sober today, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, then you're batting 1,000%, you know. I have to remember I'm not responsible for somebody else's recovery any more than I'm responsible for them getting drunk, you know. Them getting recovery is between them and their higher power. I truly believe that. And if I stay sober, like I said, I'm batting 1,000%, you know. If they get it, it's just another gift, another blessing. Everything that I do in AA is to help me strengthen my decision not to pick up a drink today. You know, that's a selfish part of this program. And even this step, step 12, is I have to be selfish about it. I'm giving it away so I can keep it. That's really the basis of it. That's the fundamental of it. You know, like I said, if that other person gets it, that's just a reward. That's just a that's just another blessing that this program has to offer. One metaphor that I read in one of these books describing the 12 steps is they describe it as breathing. In order to live, I have to breathe. You know, I breathe in and I breathe out. I inhale, I exhale. So at first, I inhale the message of AA, and then I exhale that same message to give it away and to make room for the next breath. So I pray that you all receive and enjoy the fresh air of recovery. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks an awful lot. Great job. You're a really humble guy. I really appreciate the way you presented it. It was great. We have some questions for Steve regarding this step or any of the other steps he's talked about. Anyone want to have a... I'm sorry. You're a little too eager.
I guess I could ask you this in the car, but Mark Alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Where is that line? Because I'm new at sponsoring now, and you told me that I would never understand my own recovery until I became a sponsor. And sometimes I feel like, wow, I missed something big along the way. Where is that line between wanting someone to push further forward and wanting someone to slow down? And how are... I feel inept at judging because I have one guy who just, he wants to run. He's like a dog in a racetrack. He wants to run. And I don't think he's ready for it yet. Another guy, I just feel like I want to just tie him to the guy in front, let him run with him, you know? How do we find that line without discouraging or scaring a sponsee to either go forward more or to pull back more? I've never had a sponsor push me ever. And I think that's a mistake in the past, because sometimes they really should have put a foot in my butt. And I feel like that I don't know where do I step in and say, hey, look, I don't think you're doing enough, and or where I think you're running too hard. How do you find that line? And I mean, it's kind of a real hypothetical, but I'm frustrated by it right now.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I don't know. Personally, there's no wrong way to do a right thing. And what might work for me might not work for somebody else. That's why I said I don't specifically tell anybody what to do. You know, I was just told early on that when you start working with a new person, I believe God just has a way of showing you. Some people believe you need to rush right through these. And I'm not saying that's the wrong thing. I don't do that. I need to fill a person out. I need to make sure that they're ready. And I need to know that they're serious. And I don't want to say waste of my time, because it's never wasting my time. But I want to make sure that, you know, they're ready. Before they go on to step two, they have to be, you know, I have to make sure they thoroughly, without any reservation, 100% on step one. But I think for some people, you know, you got to hang the carrot in front of them to get them to keep moving. I think a lot of that is just personality. I mean, some people probably are beat down so bad that they're just begging for a change, and others, you know, are maybe a little reluctant. I don't know that. I don't know that there's a line in between the two. I think for me, anyways, every individual is a different case. You know, I can honestly say I don't think I've ever really sponsored any two people exactly the same, other than how I work the steps with them. But some people just are at a faster or slower pace than others. I don't force anybody. But then, in the same respect, like you said, you can't let somebody procrastinate. You need to keep moving. The book says, you know, you have to keep going with this. So talk to your sponsor about it. Oh, you are. I don't know if that helped you, but
we'll talk more. Yeah, but it does.
It is. I know what you're getting at, and I, like I said, I don't know that I actually have quote unquote answer for that. And unless somebody else has something they want to share about that, by all means, please speak up.
I am Kathy, I'm alcoholic.
Hi, Kathy. It's working.
I want to know your opinion on if we ever are recovered from this program and what that means.
I don't ever think we are recovered as in past tense. I know it does say it a couple of times in the big book, but I don't believe that, because I believe it's a disease. I believe it's an active disease. And like I said, if I ever think that I'm through this and I've gotten to the end and I've graduated and I've finished the journey, I believe I'm destined to go back. I mean, I've seen people that get some time under their belt that just think that they don't need AA anymore, and more power to them. But I hope I don't ever get to that point. I personally do not believe, I can only speak for myself, but I don't believe I will ever be recovered as far as in the past tense. I believe I'm in recovery. I don't ever say I quit drinking. I just simply say I choose not to drink today. I'm a big believer in that. My sponsor pounds it in my head that this is an in-the-moment thing. It's a one-day-at-a-time thing. The book tells me I'm granted a daily reprieve. It doesn't say anything about when I'm, you know, 40 years sober, I'm recovered. It just says I'm granted a daily reprieve from this thing, and it's contingent upon the maintenance of my spiritual conditioning. So I personally don't believe we ever become recovered. I don't like it either.
My name's Dennis, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dennis.
And my idea of sponsor is like the conductor on a train. And he waves his light, and his train starts. And after that, it's out of his control. For some sponsors, it may be scary to know that they have to run to stay ahead of the guy they're sponsoring. You don't know what questions are coming, but everybody has an innate responsibility to do their best.
Right.
So that's my thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. That's what I'm told, that the real job of a sponsor is to help the new person work the steps. You know, everybody I've ever sponsored, I've always gotten way more than that out of it. I've always got a personal, you know, best friendship, so to speak, with every single guy I've ever sponsored. But that's not what the book tells me or any readings tell me that it's about, you know. I've heard people say that, you know, I had to get somebody I didn't like. I mean, I hope all the guys I sponsor like me. I'm not really...
No.
But, you know, you get that bond, you get that relationship. And I don't know how you could not. You know, you get to know everything about an individual and they get to know everything about you. How the hell could you not have that connection, you know what I mean? But you're right. I mean, everyone's different. And like I said, the definition is just, you know, help them with the steps and That's what it's all about. Because really, that's what this program's all about.
Any other questions? There you go.
All right, my turn.
That better be a question.
First of all, I want to thank you. Let's give Steve a great big hand for this. And if you know anybody that has over 30 years of sobriety and you'd like to hear them, give me their name and number and we'll ask them or hoodwink them one way or the other.
Yeah.
In the 12th step, it talks about having a spiritual awakening. Could you describe how your spiritual awakening either happened, or was it an event, or did it evolve, or...
Like I said, I've heard it talked about in different ways, and I mentioned that I've heard people talk about, they'll refer to like an experience. And for me, I've had a lot of experiences. I've had a lot of situations where, you know, I could stand there for a long time and tell you stories, which I won't, that things happened that I knew that there was no, they weren't, I don't believe in coincidence, you know, that they happened for a reason. The first gentleman that took me, the gentleman that took me to my first AA meeting, I didn't know from Adam. Make a long story short, I was moving and he was watching me. I was carrying boxes in and out. I don't know how the conversation transpired, but one thing led to another, and that night, that guy took me to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. That was July 15th of 1989, and his name was Jack. And unfortunately, Jack was not able to stay sober himself. That's another situation where I truly believe I have no control over. He helped a lot of people, but he wasn't able to stay sober himself. So for me, that was an experience. That was God doing for me. That was what I call a God thing. He didn't just happen to be sitting on those steps. I truly believe God puts you people in my life for a reason. For me, the way I look at the awakening is it's just a gradual process to where, and I don't remember exactly when it was, but to where I finally get that the light bulb goes off or whatever, you know, I guess I should have had a V8 thought, that that things have changed, you know what I mean? Like, I gave the example that when I finally realized that not only did I not have to drink, but I realized I didn't want to, you know, that this was a whole new way of life for me that I've been given. And a lot of times this thing is working in my life when I didn't even realize it. You know, how many times I've thought that you know, these things happened and my life changed before me when I didn't even realize it. You know, how many people I tell that I see a change in them. How many people I see, and there's one young lady in particular out Northeast that I just looked at her again last night, and she just had a year. And I can remember what she looked like when she came in. And she looks like a totally different person. You know, her face still looks the same. She's got color. You know, her cheeks are a little puffed out a little bit now. She's smiling. Her eyes have a glow. She's a different person. You know, that spiritual change has been made. And I truly believe that there is no spiritual side to AA. AA is a spiritual program. And without a spiritual change, there is no recovery. The recovery begins when the spiritual change is made. And I think that, for me, is the awakening.
All right.
Very good. Thank you.